Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good. All right.
This first Sunday of Lent, Word Made Flesh. So, according to the lectionary, as well as to our most recent Lenten study here at Neighbors of Hope, the gospel readings are from the Gospel of Mark. So I know we've just launched our Lenten study on the Gospel of Mark, so we haven't delved too much into that. But I would like to have us reflect on a little segment of Mark's gospel. It's really kind of at the apex in the middle of his gospel writings, and I think it is the climax of the theological implications for Mark. All right. So if I could have someone read from the Gospel of Mark, beginning at chapter 8, verse 27 through verse 30, I'd be muy appreciative.
I'll read from Mark.
What's that?
Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him.
Okay. All right.
First thoughts.
Or second thoughts, third thoughts, whatever you got going on there. All right. Whatever you can share.
Well, he didn't mince words. He was very honest with them.
Who? Jesus or Peter?
Peter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, and then there's that part coming where, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
I would say Jesus didn't mix words with Peter either. It's interesting how you can go from where you're the Messiah to, get behind me, Satan. But anyways, I'm sorry, interrupted you. What were you saying?
I was done with that particular thought.
Okay, anybody else got an original thought?
To me, he is he's God incarnate. He's kind of the human form of God, showing us how to live the way God intended us to live, showing compassion, love, justice.
Okay, so our brother Andy jumped right to the point there, so maybe what we ought to be thinking about, and it is the appropriate reflection, not just for Lent, but for any believer, right? In this little segment, Jesus poses the question, "Who do you say I am?" Right? That's just not a question, directed simply at Peter. That's a question everyone, believer and non-believer, must answer. Everybody answers that question. Some way, shape, form, or another, but it gets answered. Alright? So what I'd like to have you do, and I appreciate you kind of launching that off there, Andy, is kind of share with our listening audience, what's your answer to that question? And then secondly, what's the implications of your answer to that question on your own life? It's one thing to answer the question. It's entirely different to live up to your response. Alright? So, Jesus is Lord. Well, let's break that down. If Jesus is Lord, that means he's master, which means he's your boss. Do you always do what your boss says?
No.
There's an implication. Alright? It's one thing to say, that's boss Jesus. Jesus says to us, "Who do you say I am? You the boss man." Alright, well, why aren't you doing what I tell you to do? That type of thing. All right, this is... it's twofold.
Because I'm selfish. Because I don't want to. Because it's too hard, all the... Because... So I look at it as him being more my friend. Of course, yeah, what Andy said, but you know, it's like, to me, it's, I mean, I called on him as my friend. I you know, I listen. I don't just pray and talk and I'll sit back and listen. You know, that's hard to do a lot of times for me. It's really hard to do, but going back to the friend thing, it's you know, I've had those friends that have been with you, sat with you in the hospital the whole time you've been there, just been there every step of the way. Yeah, don't get me wrong, you know, we argue at times, we get mad at each other, frustrated. Well, I, you know, and I do, I get frustrated with Jesus. But I also have felt some unbelievable joy and that warm and fuzzy feeling and like, you know, just those of you that have experienced it know what I'm talking about.
Well, one of the things we did look at earlier in the week as we launched our study on Mark, in that first chapter, as we said, there was three components in there that we need to draw out. And one had to do with relationship, right? The Spirit comes down after Jesus' baptism. You know, you are my beloved Son, right? Okay, well, if you have God the Father and now you have Jesus the Son, there's a relationship. Friends are part of a relationship. And the thing about relationships, they're a two-way street. So one of the things you may want to think about during a Lenten time of reflection is, it's nice to say that Jesus is, you know, I see Jesus as being a friend. Does he see you being a friend to him? Right? It's things like this that Lent opens up an opportunity. It invites us into looking at that. So even when you celebrate something like Ash Wednesday and you go to a service and you know of quiet time and there's repentance and confession, right? And it can be individually, it doesn't necessarily have to be before a confessor. But those are the things we start looking at. You know, hey, Jesus, forgive me. You've been a great friend to me. Forgive me for not being the friend back to you when you needed me. Right. May this Lenten season be a time that is at the forefront of my awareness to deepen my relationship with you. Right. So no matter what terminology we come down here, even with Peter saying you're a Messiah, well, if you're Messiah or if you're the boss or whatever, you know, identity you want to give, it establishes that a relationship that takes us back to chapter 1, which we saw before. Earlier in the week in our study. Does that make sense? Because you know? I do think it's one thing to make a confession about Jesus' identity. It's entirely different to commit to the lifelong journey of living that confession out. And if we're going to live it out much like our master, right, then it becomes a life of sacrifice and service. Thus, in a Lenten season, we sacrifice certain things so that we look more like our master. So. All right, forgive me. I said you guys are going to do all the talking today. Yeah, it's a Palmer treat. Is there anything you wanted to elaborate on now that I kind of exposed and...
Stole the thunder.
Yeah. Well, go back to some of those things, Hemi. You mentioned, you know, a life that images God and a life of justice and things of those natures. Why would you pull that out? What prompts you to think in those terms?
That's just what I see him doing in the Bible, you know.
And so, go ahead.
It's not easy to do, for sure.
No. We've said over and over, I completely understand why people really don't want to follow Jesus. It's hard stuff. It really is. It's a lot easier just to make a confession but not commit to the journey. It's a lot easier just to walk away. You know? Forget the confession even. Seeking peace, practicing justice, being compassionate, you know, suffering along with those who are suffering, right? Putting our own suffering out of the way, all those type of things, so that the other is above us, right? Putting them before us, I should say. So, how about you?
Well, for me, Jesus is all these things, you know, the Lord, Master, Savior, Messiah. But Jesus says this at the Last Supper, but for me, Jesus is the way. He is the one and only standard for, you know, the way I talk, the way I act, what I work for, the way I act in private and public. And, they see, a lot of people, they see Jesus, you know, as you're walking with Jesus down this road. I see myself following kind of close behind somebody who's building a road as I'm walking it. I don't always see what's in front of me.
So you're kind of like the builder's gopher.
Yeah, you could say that.
Mark, bring me another brick. We got to put in the road. Yeah, okay. All right.
Putting in these new causeways, new detours. He puts in all these new detours while I'm looking at a seemingly straight and flat path ahead of me. Seeing that.
And I got to imagine, I love the image. All right, I think it's an appropriate image because it has that kind of has that caliber of accompaniment. We journey together, right? I like the idea of in that accompaniment being helpful to one another. Even if I'm just a gopher, I'm contributing to the advancement, right, of God's project. What Paul called co-creators or co-laborers. It's not me just sitting back going, "Wow, Jesus, you have really paved a nice yellow brick road for me right straight to heaven. All I gotta do is walk." No. Because as I said before, in Mark's gospel, this being kind of the apex, here on down, there's a lot of instruction for these disciples, particularly in light of, as we'll see later in our study of Mark, that right on the heels of this is the first, what they say, his passion, right, statement. There's going to be three of them. You know, I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. No, you can't do all that, right? So what does it mean to live in his absence with that type of awareness? Good. Anybody else? Any of you old school boy?
I got two parts. I'm going to, first part of that initial thought that we skipped over, we'll go back to that. Like, to me, Mark, every time I read Mark, I've read a few times, it's the real Jesus to me. And I think nowadays people, you know, Jesus is a little cuddly little cat playing the yarn ball, at best, a little Charlie Murphy, lasagna with a hang in there, I'm with you. This is the Lion of Judah. This is the one tells you, get behind me, Satan. He's in your face. You know, he's telling you like it is. Uncomfortable change. That's what it is. That's what he is to me. He's not really comfortable all the time. I mean, yeah, I get that sometimes, but it's that life, that love, that liberation. He freed me from myself. I'm not, no longer captured by my own mind, by the past.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you sharing with our listening audience this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.